Is Democracy Now!
This is a devastating tragedy for this community and the families touched by this unspeakable act of violence.
California is reeling after three mass shootings in 3 days. On Monday, a gunman in Half Moon Bay shot dead seven former co-workers, reportedly all Chinese and Latinx farm workers. Meanwhile, the death toll from Saturday's mass shooting at a dance studio in Monterey Park on Lunar New Year has reached 11. Both gunmen are believed to be Asian men over the age of 65. And then there was a mass shooting in Oakland Monday night. We'll go to California for the latest. Then we look at the growing probe into President Biden's mishandling of classified documents after the FBI searched his home for nearly 13 hours. We'll speak with The Intercept's Jeremy Scahill.
These scandals about mishandling classified documents, both Donald Trump and Joe Biden, has really exposed the hypocrisy in elite Washington. Low-level people have the book thrown at them for mishandling classified information. They go to prison. Elite political figures almost never have anything meaningful happen to them, maybe a slap on the wrist. But what this is exposing is the hypocrisy from Donald Trump to Joe Biden and beyond, where you have one set of rules for elite Washington and another set of rules not only for low-level officials, but for whistleblowers who have the book thrown at them.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In California, seven people were killed and another person critically injured Monday as a gunman opened fire on two sites in the coastal community of Half Moon Bay. Police say the suspect, 67-year-old Chun-Li Zhao, turned himself into police after the massacres. Authorities could not confirm whether the semi-automatic weapon he used was obtained legally. A local official says the victims were Chinese and Latinx farm workers at a local mushroom farm where Zhao reportedly worked for decades. Dave Pine is with San Mateo County Board of Supervisors.
But in the end, there are simply too many guns in this country, and there has to be a change. This is not an acceptable way for a modern society to live and conduct its affairs.
There have been three mass shootings in California in the past 3 days. In Oakland, California, at least one person was killed and another seven injured in a shootout at a gas station just after 6 p.m. on Monday night. It came as police in Des Moines, Iowa, charged an 18-year-old with murder after a shooting at a center that provides education for struggling high school students. Two students were killed in Monday's assault in Iowa, and a teacher was injured. Meanwhile, the death toll from Saturday night's massacre at a Lunar New Year celebration in Monterey Park, California, has risen to 11 after another victim died in the hospital. Investigators said Monday they recovered 42 bullet casings from the scene of the attack, the Star Ballroom Dance Studio. A 26-year-old man is being credited with thwarting an even larger tragedy after he wrestled the shooter's gun away from him at a second studio. Brandon Say said he confronted the 72-year-old gunman, Hu Khan Tran, after Tran drove to another dance hall and appeared to be loading his semi-automatic assault pistol.
Something came over me. I realized I needed to get the weapon away from him. I needed to take this weapon, disarm him, or else everybody would have died.
Police reportedly took 5 hours to alert the public that the gunman was on the loose Saturday night. Tran was found dead the next day of a self-inflicted gunshot wound in his van. The Los Angeles County Coroner's Office has so far named four of his victims, among them 65-year-old Mai Mai Nan, whose family said in a statement Monday, quote, "She spent so many years going to the dance studio in Monterey Park on weekends. It's what she loved to do. But unfairly, Saturday was her last dance," unquote. On Monday, residents of Monterey Park held a candlelight vigil to mourn the victims of Saturday's massacre. Local resident An Lau organized the vigil.
"We never thought that it would be one of us. And it's so shocking. We can't accept it. And the reason we came together is basically I was talking to our friends, and I thought we have to do something just to get our emotions out, just to comfort each other, just to tell each other that we can go forward."
In the wake of the shootings, cities including New York and Los Angeles have stepped up security precautions for Lunar New Year celebrations, fearing more violence against Asian American and Pacific Islander communities. After headlines, we'll speak with Dr. Connie Won, co-founder of the AAPI Women Lead Organization, and Nick Saplina of the group Every Town for Gun Safety. A warning to our audience, the following headline contains graphic images and descriptions of police violence. In Tennessee, the parents of a 29-year-old African-American man who died after he was brutally beaten by Memphis police say their son was defenseless during the ordeal. Tyree Nichols died of kidney failure and cardiac arrest on January 10, 3 days after his violent arrest following a traffic stop. On Monday, Memphis officials privately showed police body cam footage of Nichols' arrest to family and attorneys. They said after viewing the video, Nichols was pepper sprayed, tased, restrained, kicked, and beaten. This is family attorney Antonio Romanucci.
"He was defenseless the entire time. He was a human pinata for those police officers. It was an unadulterated, unabashed, nonstop beating of this young boy for 3 minutes.
Oh, my God.
That is what we saw in that video."
In the wake of Nichols' death, Memphis police officials fired five officers for violating department policies, including use of excessive force, failing to render aid. Like Nichols, all five of the former officers are Black. Tyree Nichols was a skilled skateboarder, an amateur photographer, and father to a young son. Four more members of the far-right group, the Oath Keepers, were convicted of seditious conspiracy Monday for plotting to keep Donald Trump in power after the 2020 election, resulting in the deadly January 6 insurrection at the Capitol. Last month, a jury also convicted Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes of the same charges. In related news, an Arkansas man who was photographed with his boot on a desk in House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office during the attack on the Capitol was convicted Monday on 8 charges, including obstruction of an official proceeding. Richard Barnett, who was also convicted for carrying a stun gun inside the Capitol, faces up to 47 years in prison. This follows the arrests of 3 active-duty Marines who've been charged for taking part in the Capitol insurrection. Mika Coomer, Joshua Abate, and Dodgedale Hellinan were among the mob of Trump supporters attempting to stop the counting of the electoral votes on January 6, 2021. Here in New York, a former senior FBI official was indicted in a federal court in Manhattan Monday after prosecutors accused him of taking hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes and conspiring to get Russian billionaire Oleg Deripaska removed from a U.S. sanctions list. 54-year-old Charles McGonigal pleaded not guilty to the charges, which include money laundering and violating U.S. sanctions. The United States and Israel have launched one of their largest-ever joint military exercises in the latest ratcheting up of tensions over Iran's nuclear program. The exercise, codenamed Juniper Oak, involves thousands of soldiers, a dozen naval vessels, and over 140 warplanes, including nuclear-capable bombers. In the occupied West Bank, Palestinian protesters gathered Monday at the site of a Bedouin village after 2 high-profile Israeli lawmakers demanded its demolition to make way for illegal Israeli settlements. This is Aija Halim, a spokesperson for the Bedouin villagers.
The existence of settlements here means fragmentation of the West Bank. This village is the key for peace in the Middle East, or the dream of every Palestinian for the establishment of a state. If this village is taken and gone, and they confiscate the area from Jerusalem to the Dead Sea, the West Bank will be split into West Bank North and South.
On Monday, Human Rights Watch warned in a new report that Israeli guidelines on access to the West Bank for foreigners threaten to further isolate Palestinians from loved ones and global civil society. The group added in a statement, quote, "By making it harder for people to spend time in the West Bank, Israel's taking yet another step toward turning the West Bank into another Gaza, where 2 million Palestinians have lived virtually sealed off from the outside world for over 15 years," unquote. In Brazil, President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva has fired the commander of Brazil's army 2 weeks after the attempted coup and violent attack on government buildings in the capital, Brasilia, by supporters of the far-right former president Jair Bolsonaro. Army General Julio César de Azuja is the highest ranking of dozens of military officers removed by President Lula over their suspected involvement in the January 8th riots. In other news from Brazil, authorities said Monday they've identified a Colombian illegal fish trader and gang leader as the person suspected of orchestrating the murders of British journalist Dom Phillips and Brazilian indigenous advocate Bruno Pereira last June. Ruben Dario da Silva Vilar is already in the custody of Brazilian police. He's accused of running an illegal fishing network near Brazil's borders with Peru and Colombia, and the region where Pereira and Phillips went missing days before their remains were found. Meanwhile, the Brazilian President Lula has accused Jair Bolsonaro's far-right government of committing genocide against the Yanomami people of the Amazon. Lula's remarks came after he visited Yanomami communities as they face a humanitarian and health crisis triggered by illegal mining that polluted rivers and destroyed forests, depriving people of key food sources. Brazil's justice minister said he plans to order a federal investigation into the crimes. The music and audio streaming giant Spotify says it's laying off 6% of its workforce, about 600 workers. Nearly 50,000 employees at U.S.-based tech companies have been laid off so far this year, following nearly 100,000 tech layoffs last year. In California, workers at a Pete's Coffee store in Davis have approved the coffee chain's first union. Pete's Workers United celebrated the victory, tweeting, "We will not be the last," unquote. Starbucks Workers United, which has unionized hundreds of Starbucks shops across the U.S., said on social media, quote, "Solidarity from coffee shop. Welcome to the labor movement." And in Alabama, a worker who helped lead an unsuccessful union organizing drive at Amazon's warehouse in Bessemer says he was abruptly fired without explanation. Darrell Richardson, who led a campaign to organize his co-workers into the retail, wholesale and department store union, says he was given no reason for the firing, but he believes it was because of his union activity. This comes just days after the National Labor Relations Board threw out Amazon's objections to a union drive at the company's massive Staten Island warehouse known as JFK 8, declaring the Amazon labor union won last April's election. To date, it's the only successful unionization campaign at an Amazon facility. It came as the percentage of U.S. workers who are members of a union fell to a new low in 2022, just over 10% of the working population. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. When we come back, California's reeling after three mass shootings in 3 days. We'll go to California for the latest. Stay with us. Seasons Lost Winter by Jennifer Coe. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for the weather. Wednesday will begin partly sunny around minus 14 degrees Celsius with some snowfall in the afternoon and a high of minus 8 degrees Celsius. Thursday will be cloudy throughout the day with a high of minus 3 degrees Celsius and a low of minus 14 degrees Celsius. Friday will be sunny with some clouds in the afternoon. The high will be minus 11 degrees Celsius. The low will be minus 13 degrees Celsius. Saturday will be cloudy with flurries part of the day. The high will be 1 degree Celsius. The low will be minus 13 degrees Celsius. Sunday will bring a chance of flurries in the morning, then partly sunny in the afternoon. The high will be minus 10. The low will be minus 14 degrees Celsius. Monday brings a chance of flurries in the morning, then partly sunny in the afternoon. The high will be minus 10 degrees Celsius and the low will be minus 19. That's all for weather on the New Spins Library.
It's time for Nadine Altunji to launch her EP, The Stories That Tie Us to Trees. This delicious collection in two volumes is full of issues and surprises, stories that bring us from colonialism to the present day. With us today, we have Nadine Altunji. Hi, Nadine, and welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be involved in music.
My name, okay, so you introduced me as Nadine Altunji. When I was young, I started playing piano at the age of 5. By the age of 13, I decided I wanted to learn the guitar, so I got into classical guitar, but I was playing things like Nirvana and Metallica on my classical guitar and realized that I really, really was into guitar, but more, I wanted to play with people. I went on to study classical guitar at Vanier College and eventually switched to jazz and then went to university at Concordia in jazz as well. But I would say when I really, really discovered my passion for different styles of music was after university. Jazz was amazing because it was a great base, But then I got into R&B and funk and blues and soul and played with different bands. And eventually decided to connect more with my roots, dig a bit more into Arabic music because that's the culture of my parents, and try to find a way to mix it with everything that I came across, even folk music, and started adding little elements of Arabic music on my first EP, for example. And then most recently, instead of hiring an oud player, I decided to learn the instrument myself. So in the past 4 or 5 years, I learned how to play it and incorporated it in my on my album. So that's a little bit of my background.
Who are your bandmates and what does everyone play or do?
Okay, well, at the moment for the upcoming show, sometimes I play with different musicians, but on the album, I had Mark Allen Haynes, which is a fantastic bass player and also a producer. He co-produced the album with me, and he played with artists like Janet Jackson, Soul of Blackness, and many, many great artists. So to have his eyes and his vision was amazing because he has a way of approaching music that's very, very interesting. So I would come up with like traditional concept, like traditional folk songs or like Peruvian songs, because it was based on my travels. The album was based on my travels in Ecuador and Peru. So we would take something like a lando or a tondero, and then we'd flip around and put an R&B swing to it. So that's it. That's for Mark. And then Peru, I had Pedro Diaz, which is a Peruvian singer-songwriter that lives in Montreal, but it's from Peru. Great. He helped me co-write many of the songs on the album. Then I have Dana El Masri and Nadia Bachalani, which are two singers from Montreal, but are of Arabic descent, Egyptian as well as Benin. They're featured on some of the songs on the EP. And then we have, who am I missing? Joseph Kuri, which is an amazing percussionist who knows Peruvian percussion and Arabic percussion. That's why I chose him. So that's the core of on the EP. That's the core band.
Your latest EP is Stories That Tie Us to Trees. Which issues are you addressing in this album?
We have issues of feminism where we talk about the violence against women. There's also a song that talks about identity, cultural identity. For example, me as an Arabic descent, I'm born in Canada and Quebec. So I've never felt Canadian or Quebecois or even Arabic. I'm really a melting pot of all these cultures. So I wanted to talk about that. I reached out to singers and artists who are similar to me. So we touch on that. And as well, when I traveled in Peru and Ecuador, I met this poet called Marcia Castro Gamara, and she wrote 3 songs on the EP. Where we talked, one talks about the war, and I wanted to make a link with the war in Syria, but also the colonialism, sorry, sometimes my English. And we talked about, for example, how the Spaniards colonized in Peru, but also this story is all over the world, so it's not just in that country. That's why I decided to put the lyrics in Spanish, and then part of her poem I changed in Arabic. And the song Nolo El Viden with that. Other topics, we talk about just remembering our ancestors. I think it's important. The song Alabali, which means on my mind, is kind of a tribute to our grandparents, but also to all the countries that were destroyed or just changed throughout time. And even though we're not born there and we didn't grow up there, it's kind of a little homage to it that touches on the big issues.
You have put together a video for International Women's Day. What was the process you went through producing this video?
That's it. So it's Marcia Castro Gamara, the poet I met in Cusco. And it was during the protest, Ni Una Menos, that were happening all over the world, but especially in Latin America. And when I was visiting, she told me how one of the women at the protest was killed by her husband, and it really touched me. And she was shook by it, you know. And she herself was a victim of violence. So I said, let's write a poem. Like, let's address this issue. A year later, when I was back in Montreal, I thought, why not go further and reach out to to the activist movement and get pictures from those protests. Mm-hmm. And then we even reached out to this activist in Africa. So we kind of made it universal and not just in one area. Yeah, it was fantastic. So if you get a chance, you can watch. If you subscribe to my channel, Nadine Altunji, you can have access to all the videos. Every single song on the EP has a story and has an amazing, amazing images from this filmmaker I worked with called Victorine Santé. I also worked with this filmmaker called Johan Carrasco, who is located in Cusco, and collaborated on the song Escarba en mi alma. So some of his images are in the video as well. So it's a whole journey. If you sit down and you watch 20 minutes, it will take you across the world. Yeah.
May we hear some of your music?
Sure.
This is like Bintel Ballad on the New Spins Library.
Land.
Can you talk about your upcoming shows?
Well, I have a show this Thursday at this cafe called Kawalis. It's a cafe bar. The owners are Lebanese. It should be nice. Then the bigger shows coming up, there's Pop Montreal on September 29th. So I will be at Jardin Gamelin. And it's going to be an hour and a half. So a chance to really cover the songs from the EP that just came out, but also from the second EP that will come out next year. So it's a good chance of really touching on all the music. And then the next show is, I have a showcase at Astral, at TD, the old Astral, which is the TD stage. And that's on October 6th, and it's part of Muse. So if you get a chance, come check it out. So for the moment, those are the three confirmed dates coming up.
May we hear some more of your music?
Absolutely.
This is Escarpa on Mi Alma on CKUT.
Rascando en la tierra, buscando en la tumba, dolor en el alma, miedo que acaba. Rascando en la tierra, buscando la lluvia, buscando morir en que nadie se entere. Rascando en la tierra, buscando la lluvia, buscando un origen que nadie se entere. Han pasado mil años y no me conozco. El viento me ama, golpea desesperadamente. Me siento perdida, mil años perdida. Tierra, llamando un hermano, lo vio, no es todo, existe un pasado, nuestro origen llama, verdadera esencia, aclama y aclama todos estos años, nuestro origen llama, verdadera esencia. Aclama y aclama todos estos años. Calles camufladas, sol resplandeciente. Raíces que gritan, oídos ausentes. Escarba mi alma, me siento perdida. Mil años perdida.
If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music or event tickets, where should they go?
I have a Bandcamp. You can go on my website. I'm on every single platform. So Spotify, iTunes. Yeah, every single platform. But the best for us, for most musicians, is Bandcamp. If you buy directly from the artist, it's always a better option.
Thank you for your interview today.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Nadine Altunji speaking about her music. I'm your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Pour citoyen, on te parle de couilles. Cher capitaine, tu vas la perdre. Tu dis que c'est elle qui devrait s'en pousser. Ben moi, je dis que c'est les ailes qu'elle devrait considérer. Depuis qu'on est jeune, la leçon répétée, c'est de pas s'en prendre au plus faible que soi. Elle était insécure et t'en as profité pour la rendre plus insécure que toi. Pousse-toi une paire de couilles, cher capitaine, c'est quoi ce calvaire? Elle a beau pas te dire un mot, t'es en train de la noyer tête première. Et ses poumons sont pleins d'eau, pourtant elle se plaint pas parce qu'elle pense que tu vas piger. Quand t'es dans sa tête sous l'eau, tu finiras par la tuer. J'ai vain que t'as peur, mais Chris, mon capitaine, va mettre ton orgueil de côté. Pousse-toi une paire de couilles, puis accepte que t'as exagéré. J'ai vain que t'as peur, mais Chris, mon capitaine, va mettre ton orgueil de côté. Pousse-toi une paire de couilles, puis accepte que t'as exagéré. Cher capitaine, avant que ce soit trop tard, hop donc pour la franchise, ça vous fera moins mal des deux bords. Oh non, elle est pas stupide, puis ça sera pas long avant qu'elle découvre la vérité. Crée-moi donc cette journée-là, mon capitaine, t'auras plus de couilles à te faire pousser. Parce que si je comprends bien, mon capitaine, vas-tu le mener en bateau sans même prendre la peine d'y dire que ta flotte apprenait l'eau. Puis près que mon mère affrontait les ouragans, ben vous êtes rentrés au port. L'aventure, elle était belle, ma chère, mais l'amour lui était mort. C'est les mots que t'aurais dû prononcer avant de la ramener au bord de ta flotte destinée à caler au fond de l'océan. Mais t'avais pas les couilles à le faire. Mais check toi bien, mon grand, t'as déclaré la guerre à une femme des plus faibles, mais à l'esprit le plus fort. Puis elle a beau être naïve, son cœur est bon, puis elle en a mort de toutes tes hosties de conneries. Hop, la guerre est déclarée, la guerre est déclarée.
CKUT is looking for a full-time sales and administrative coordinator. The sales and administrative coordinator is responsible for the sale of on-air advertisements and co-presentation partnerships, as well as the negotiating of the radio station's administrative contractual agreements. The ideal candidate will have a passion for community radio, the ability to work with volunteers, clients, and community members, is well-organized, and has strong negotiating skills. We are looking for someone with knowledge of Montreal's arts, culture, and activity scenes who sees media as a tool for building community and can work in a non-hierarchical organization. Financial literacy, bilingualism, and experience with Google Suite products are also a requirement. For full details about the position, wage, and benefits, please visit ckut.ca. The cutoff for applications is Monday, February 6th at 5 p.m. CKUT strives to be a progressive working environment and recognizes experience outside of the formal workplace as important qualifications. We value the unique contributions that individuals from traditionally underrepresented and oppressed communities bring to our organization and encourage these individuals to apply.
Take a deep breath of fresh air through your nose. Now imagine doing the very same underwater. It just wouldn't work. This week on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, we ask, why do fish have nostrils?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, in the shower with Taz and Marcus, in the shower with Taz and Marcus, in the shower with Taz and Marcus,
in the shower with Taz and Marcus,
in the shower with Taz and Marcus,
in the shower with Taz and Marcus,
in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Hello and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized, informative podcast that aims to answer the mysteries of the world in the time it takes you to have a shower.
Have you ever wondered why we put Christmas trees up?
Or why our hair goes grey?
Or do plants have feelings?
Or why human beings love music so much?
If you've wondered the answers to any of those questions, well, good news. We've answered them and we've answered a ton more. Check out our back catalogue on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. And we're about to answer a new question today.
This week on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, we tackle, why do fish have nostrils?
So step into the shower cubicle with us and prepare to learn some fish nostril things.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, in the shower with Taz and Marcus, in the shower with Taz and Marcus,
in the shower with Taz and Marcus,
in the shower with Taz and Marcus,
in the shower with Taz and Marcus,
in the shower with Taz and Marcus,
in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
So this is a question that comes from the one, the only, the unbeatable Marcus O'Leary.
That is me. I am asking the question this week, and this one's been in the reserves.
Come here to me, Marcus. How exactly did you come up with this question? Like, give us a window into your brain.
So a couple of weeks ago, somebody messaged me on Spotify with another question related to fish.
Messaged you on Spotify?
Not on Spotify. Sorry, on Instagram.
Yeah.
Show me a message on Instagram. With a fish-related question, and I was kind of looking into it, and I still have to answer it. The question was just how do hammerhead sharks exist? Because, like, they're a mad-looking creature.
Mad-looking creature. And
then I was looking at pictures of fish, and I was like, why do fish have nostrils? Basically, if anyone wants an insight into my day-to-day routine, I was just looking at pictures of loads of different fish. I was looking at sharks. I was looking at, like, koi carp. I was looking at manta rays. I was looking at eels.
And they all have nostrils.
They all have nostrils, which is mad because, like, you know, I thought that nostrils kind of gave us the, like, fish have gills.
Yeah.
So, like, it's kind of cheating that they have nostrils as well. Like, you know, you can get, like, I don't know if it, like, breathing in through your nose. Also, I have a bit of a blocked nose, so anyone who's listening to that might just be like, but.
Well, thank you, Marcus, so much for asking the question. Every time that we're running short on questions to answer, I'm afraid that the podcast will just die. Like, so often people ask us what we're going to do when we've answered all of the questions. But in all honesty, the questions just keep coming.
Also, like, imagine just being like, we have reached the point where we have answered all of the questions.
That is the aim, isn't it?
Like, just like,
that can be on our gravestone.
Do you know, that's
have answered all of the questions.
That's
has
what
answered.
A pantomath is somebody who knows everything.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's a hypothetical concept of somebody who knows absolutely everything in the universe is a pantomath. Yeah, but I mean, like, that's the beautiful thing about humanity is that we're curious, and curiosity is what makes us people, and curiosity is what drives this podcast. And every one of you listeners must be curious if you're listening to this podcast. So you're just great.
You're a great bunch.
Beautiful,
long may the questions continue. Okay, so to kick this investigation off, I love that my investigation is investigating fish nostrils. But yeah, to kick this investigation off, to find out why exactly fish do have nostrils, we first have to ask, can fish smell?
Fish can smell really bad if it's not fresh, if it's just left out in the sun for a bit. Like, this, like, yeah. Oh, you mean can they actually, like, pick up?
Can they, do they have a sense of smell?
Can they pick up scent? Yeah, well, do you know what, like, We answered a question a couple of weeks ago about whether water has a taste.
Can you remember what that was in short?
Yeah, it was basically like the mineral composition of... No, it wasn't. What was it again? Oh, God.
We answered this question live at EP, actually. It was... Remember they did a science experiment on the tongues of little tiny mice.
Yes.
And they found that actually it pinged the sour sensory section of the tongue, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that thus made our bodies more primed to receive hydration. That's why basically electrolytes have an acid in them. And electrolytes are better at hydrating you. So that's what I wonder. I mean, like, but you know what I said there about mineral composition and the fact that, like, all water has different minerals in it. Do fish run around going, ooh, this is a bit sulfury if they're around Iceland, or are they up in Wicklow being like,
Has this been passed through a Brita filter?
Exactly. The limestone deposits in here are just marvellous, Mildred.
But does water have a smell, and can fish smell it? Do you think that fish have a sense of smell?
I kind of think so. Like, I know that I think, do you know what the thing that I'm thinking of is, like, I saw Jaws recently.
Yeah.
I hadn't watched it in years. So the whole, like, sharks can smell a drop of water in the ocean.
A drop of blood in the ocean.
Or a drop of blood. Yes, a drop of water in the ocean. That would be the most overwhelming thing of all time. Just like, it's everywhere! Now, yeah, they can detect a drop of blood in the ocean. It's something like 200 miles away or something.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, I assume that they can... they can smell kinda.
Okay, well, Esther DeFillis, the professor at the Department of Piscobiology.
Piscobiology, yeah.
At the Complutense University of Madrid, has written an article all about fish nostrils, which
really?
Is just fantastic. But
do you know what? Before you say anything, like, what I love about this podcast is finding that somebody has done a PhD about everything.
Fish nostrils. Genuinely, like, this professor wrote an amazing article investigating fish nostrils.
Esther DeFillis of the Pescobiology at Complutense University in Madrid, fish nostril expert.
She is who we have to thank for this episode. And she said that although it may seem strange, fish can smell, and actually they have a very good sense of smell. Many people think that the sense of smell only detects volatile molecules, and therefore it is not possible to smell inside water.
Volatile molecules as in stuff that can be vaporized.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of people think that it's impossible to smell inside water. However, smell has more to do with the sensory system involved, in this case the olfactory system, with the olfactory epithelium and their brain connectors, than the properties of the actual stimulus itself. Terrestrial animals detect volatile chemical substances with their olfactory system and dissolved chemicals using the sense of taste. But fish detect dissolved substances with both the taste and the smell senses.
So their smell and taste senses are kind of one. So they they detect stuff with smell and taste together.
Exactly. And that's why historically fish were believed not to be able to smell. This was until about 1924 when Fritz Strike demonstrated the olfactory capacities of the common minnow, which is a type of fish. What?
I just love finding out all these little...
Minnow, I know.
Not, like, I know what a minnow is, but like, for the olfactory capabilities of the common minnow. Like, that is... What a... Oh, yeah. Good old Fritz Strike.
But ever since many studies have been carried out which show the extraordinary olfactory sensitivity of a fish.
So a fish can smell and taste, and that's why they have nostrils.
Fish have one or two pairs of nostrils through which water flows into the nasal cavity, and then inside the nasal cavity we find the olfactory epithelium with the sensory cells that detect the molecules that are dissolved in the water. So most fish species have very sensitive olfactory receptors capable of detecting the presence of molecules even in very low concentrations.
So what do fish use this sense of smell for? Like, are there some fish who are having like a really bad BO day, or like, you know, some fish who don't want to go near like where another fish has pooed because it kind of fish smells
bad? Well, honestly, it depends kind of on every species what exactly they use their sense of smell for, but it has been proved that they use it for finding food. That's a fact which fishermen take advantage of.
I suppose throwing in bait and chum.
Exactly. They also use it to find a mate.
Mm-hmm. Imagine that, like, in a David Attenborough documentary, that carp was attracted to a mate because she can smell that he was wearing Armani 1 million.
But yeah, they do use their sense of smell to find a mate and for recognising other fish of the same species, detecting predators, or for orientation, which is a really, really cool one. So salmon actually recognise their birth river by smell.
No way!
Yeah.
It's almost like a dog finding its way home.
Yeah, exactly. And it's recently been proved that young fish from many coral reef species, if carried away by the currents, are capable of finding their way back to their birth reef by using just their sense of smell.
So really, Nemo couldn't have been that lost.
He exactly.
Just had a little sniff.
Disney Pixar unveiled. Fish larvae as small as a couple of millimetres. So a couple of millimetres are, there's 10 millimetres in a centimetre. So a couple of millimetres is tiny. Mm. But fish as small as that have noses strong enough to smell their way home.
What? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So now we know fish have nostrils because they too can smell, and they use that sense of smell to find food, find mates, find their way home, detect predators, and loads of other reasons. Kind of, you know, normal reasons that you'd use your nose for, except
yeah,
on a fish.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of expecting this episode to go into evolution and stuff, which I kind of went into because, of course, fish have evolved from something, and what it evolved from had nostrils. But at the end of the day, why do fish have nostrils to smell, and they use their sense of smell, as you just said, for the exact same reasons that we use our sense of smell?
Hmm. Right. So, listen, that's I am actually slightly blown away by that. There you go. The knowledge is power. And the next time I see a fish, I'll be like, yo, mate, you smell.
Oh.
And I'll be like, yes, I do. So any fishy facts to end the episode?
Fishy fact time! Some fish, like sharks, don't possess an air bladder to keep them afloat and must either swim continuously or rest at the bottom of the ocean.
Rest at the bottom of the ocean.
So they can't float. They either have to be swimming or they have to be at the bottom.
Wow, that's actually very, so sink or swim, literally.
Literally, yeah. Mm-hmm. Another one, fish use a variety of low-pitched sounds to convey messages to each other. Because when I was actually looking into this, another question that I thought about is, you know, how mm-hmm. do animals, how do horses talk, how do dogs talk? But this is how fish talk. So they moan, grunt, croak, boom, hiss, whistle, creak, shriek and wail.
That's actually exactly how lads from Carlow communicate.
They rattle their bones and gnash their teeth. However, fish do not actually have vocal cords. They use other part of their bodies to make noises, such as vibrating muscles against their swim bladder, which is the bladder that sharks don't have.
Okay, yeah. Very good. Mm.
Last fact. So electric eels and electric rays, you've been told growing up to stay away from them or like keep an eye out for them.
Yeah, do you know what? I was taught growing up, I honestly thought that electric eels would pose far more of a threat to my everyday life.
Yeah, then.
Like, same
That's
with sharks.
That's so true.
Same with sharks. Like, everyone's like, you can't go near them. It's like... As a kid, I was like, okay, well, I better not reach into like that section of the shelf in the shop just in case there's an electric eel behind the Frosties. Or like, I don't. It's the same with like swans breaking arms. Like, yeah, I don't know. Anybody,
I don't know. I don't believe it. I don't know. Think. Anyway,
like, do you know what? So electric eels and electric rays.
We were told the right thing because electric eels and electric rays have enough electricity to kill a horse.
What?
I know, yeah. So you'd be fried, Marcus. You'd be a battered Marcus over there.
Zap.
In the show with Tazza Marcus. 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 In the show with Tazza Marcus.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to that episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. It was a proper, small, bite-sized one. A lot of our ones recently have been very deep and meaningful and have been longer. But we thought we'd just throw in a small, simple, chunky, nice, simple fact episode.
There you go. Yeah, that was fun.
Thanks for asking the question, Marcus.
Do you know what? It's okay.
Guys, if you have any questions, just like Marcus, that you would like us to tackle and do some research into and debunk and relay to the masses, if you have any question that you would like us to do that for, then please, please, please send them on to our Facebook page, Marcus.
Just look up In the Shower with Taz and Marcus on Facebook. If you're on Instagram, look up In the Shower Pod. Same for Twitter.
And if you want to send a question via email, just send it to intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com.
We love hearing from you. If you have a question or you just want to say hi, or as tradition dictates, if you want to send us pictures of your dogs or pets, as lots of you have done, and we've got an all variety of pets. We've got dogs, cats, pigs, snakes, parakeets, fish with nostrils. please do.
We've also said that for the 2 weeks over Christmas, for anybody who sends in a question in the shower, are going to donate €2 to Inner City Dublin Helping the Homeless, because there's a huge homeless crisis going on in Dublin at the moment that we want to try to do our bit for. So for every single person that sends in a question, we're going to donate €2. So if you're listening to this and you have any question whatsoever, if you send it in to us, you'll be doing your bit to help some charity.
Big or small. And the questions can be asked from anywhere. It doesn't matter if you are in Timbuktu. You ask the question, you help a homeless person in Dublin.
A few thank yous to wrap up the episode.
A few thank yous. A massive thank you to Alan and Paddy and all the crew in the Head Stuff Podcast Network. You guys are doing great work and we love you very much.
Next up, thank you so much to Flo Robinson for our lovely cover art.
And a little final thank you to the musical mastermind behind our theme songs, Dave Gertzman. Dave, you are the man.
Next week's question, Marcus.
Next week's question is for all the rockers, the boppers, and the show stoppers out there.
Oh,
there you go.
What is it?
Next week's question is actually pretty cool. How does an electric guitar work?
That episode is going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
Excuse me. Go tell someone about me. Go tell someone about
Better
it.
Go tell someone about me.
Go tell someone about me. Go tell someone about me.
Go tell someone about me.
Cause I'm a mama, mama, I'm a mama tie. I'm a mama, I'm a mama tie. I'm a mama tie. You know it's I.
Go tell someone about me. Go tell someone about me.
Go tell someone about me.
Well, that wraps it up for the Newsman's Library on CKUT. The Sleepy King and Terminal 5 are up next. Keep on listening to your radio.
You are tuned to CKUT 90.3 in Montreal. This is Terminal 5.